So abstract number one, this is a clinical trial of fluid infusion rates for pediatric diabetic ketoacidosis. And the first author here is Nate Cooperman et al., and this is in the New England Journal of Medicine. This is the paper chaser, the first paper chaser of the month. So cerebral edema in kids with DKA is probably the worst imaginable outcome from this disease process. But how much of this can we actually blame on treatment, and specifically the amount of fluids we give these kids, right? Because it's definitely a big area of debate. Now, there were lots of early theories out there kind of postulating that rapid fluid reduces serum osmolality, resulting in brain swelling. But the only evidence to support these theories is retrospective data, because what we see is kids who got more fluid did have higher rates of cerebral edema, right? But all this is retrospective data, so this could be the fact that they were just sicker overall.
Right, it's always and that's been why confounded they got more by fluid. Illness severity.
Exactly. So they really can't prove causation there. Now, the best trial on this topic to date was actually done by Dr. Cooperman previously, and this is with case match controls, and he did not find any evidence to support the relationship of fluids to cerebral edema, but this was also a retrospective trial. Now, Nate and company are back with a prospective randomized controlled trial looking at the rate of fluid administration in pediatric DKA across the 13 emergency departments of the PCARN network. They did here a 2x2 factorial design looking at the rate of rehydration and type of fluid used in kids with laboratory-proven DKA ages 0 to 18. They excluded kids who'd already received some treatment, like those who were transferred in, and those who had an underlying neurologic disease because their primary outcome here was a cognitive one, so they needed to be able to assess differences appropriately. They defined fast rehydration as replacing 50% of the fluid deficit over 12 hours and then 50% over the remaining 24 hours, and they defined slow rehydration as replacing the entire fluid deficit evenly over 48 hours. The arms were basically half normal saline fast, normal saline fast, half normal saline slow, and normal saline fast. Up front, all kids, regardless of the arm that they were in, got a 10 milliliter per kilogram normal saline bolus. They still gave them the bolus before they started the repletion.
But the little baby bolus.
That's correct. The baby bolus.
Which is the one that I believe is recommended in all the
Yeah, some people will push that to 20, but most people recommend 10. Yeah. So the primary outcome was deterioration of mental status as evidenced by two GCS scores of less than 14. Secondary outcomes were a bunch of cognitive tests and clinically apparent brain injury in the form of getting intubated or dying. And yes, they did bring all these kids back 6 months later for due secondary cognitive outcome testing. So over a five-year period, they ended up enrolling 1,255 patients with a total of 1,389, so almost 1,400 distinct DKA episodes. Baseline demographics and illness severity did not differ between the groups. The sort of average age in both groups is about 12. Overall, GCS dropped below 14 in 3.5% of cases, and 1.6% actually got mannitol for suspected cerebral edema, and 0.9%, 12 cases in total, had some clinically apparent brain injury. Now, these 12 cases were all really, really sick at the start. So their labs were highly abnormal, way sort of out of the realm of what the rest of the group looked like. 11 of the 12 still recovered and did fine, and one died. This was the one death in the study. There were no differences between groups in percent of patients whose GCS dropped below 14, the magnitude of the drop of the GCS, the time the GCS stayed below 14, clinically apparent brain injury, or long-term cognitive tests like IQ and memory scores. They looked the same across all the groups. Although adherence to the treatment arms were excellent, they did evaluate and present the intent to treat analysis as well as the per protocol data and didn't find any differences there. Now, although the absolute numbers were very, very small, right, they didn't have that many adverse events in truth, they had a non-statistically significant trend towards less adverse outcomes in the rapid groups, which honestly weren't that rapid. But some things to consider here. Number one, the rapid and slow groups were not that rapid and not that slow.
Yeah.
Right? That's really the big problem here. It's not like they gave 40 cc's per kilo up front to some of
these
kids.
Times two, and they're like, hey, you're rehydrated, you're good.
Right, and I think this is really what we want to know the answer to. If they come in super sick and dehydrated, can we hydrate these kids quickly? But you know, they had to design it this way because the upper and lower ends sort of what they use as their fast and slow had to be within what the community standard of what is okay to treat DKA with. So that's why they did it that way. It's not like they didn't want to know the answer. Number two, clinically apparent brain injury was very rare. So really, it's impossible to power this trial appropriately to see true differences. Number three, they relied heavily on changes in GCS, but this may not really represent the right thing to look at for kids who are going to progress and get frank cerebral edema. Maybe there's some other sort of precursor they would have first besides a drop in GCS. And number four, they didn't look at or report the impact of the total amount of fluid given, right? So it wasn't an amount of fluid, it was just the rate of rehydration. So in sum, I think Nate and company do a really nice job of showing that the rate and type of fluid given do not impact bad neurologic outcomes and cerebral edema as long as your fast rate and slow rate are sort of within the accepted, very conservative levels. Again, no bigger data up front, not even as much as like 20 cc per kilo bolus, right? But importantly—
So can you help me though contextualize that a little bit? So what does that actually mean, 50%? What does that translate to? And like, you know, I got a 12-year-old because they were average age 12 years old. So what, that's like a 40 kilo kid or 50 kilo kid, something like that. So if they're down a lot— Let's say they're severely dehydrated, like 10% down. So how much fluid are they actually getting in that first 12 hours? Yeah, that's what I'm trying to like, actually do the math. And
yeah, that's an excellent question. And the answer is it's not that much, right? Because these kids typically aren't in the ED very long anyways. I think this paper is more built for sort of management up on the floor. But I think what we can take home from this is the type of fluid to be given, right? They did look at half normal saline versus normal saline. There's a lot of debate around that and what we should be giving the bolus with. Should we be using LR, all this other stuff? And here they found the type of fluid really didn't matter. So I think if the inpatient team wanted to switch this to a different type of fluid on the floor, they could, even after you gave whatever you gave. So for me, I'm giving normal saline to these kids, largely speaking. And then I'm sort of going at a slow maintenance rate, you know, your 4-2-1 kind of formula, and then letting the inpatient team sort of figure out if they want to do that over the 12-hour period, 36-hour period, or 48-hour period. So I think, like you sort of just alluded to, this study really just kind of validates our current way of practicing and hydrating these kids. We give them little boluses. We kind of feel frustrated about it sometimes. Only 10 cc's per kilo. They're really fluid down, but they all did really well at the end of the day. That's one of the sort of the nice take-homes I got from this paper. So I think for me, I'm sticking with what I'm currently doing. I'm knowing that it's safe, which is really good. And if where you work, they offer sort of a range of rehydration strategies, give them either 10 cc's, 15 cc's, or 20 cc's, or this rate or that rate, I probably would just choose the highest one that your group or your practice or your ED or your hospital feels is safe.
Fair enough.
When rehydrating kids with DKA, go for the faster end of the suggested fluid administration rate range.